We are continuing chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. When Harry did not question Slughorn again, you remember about the Horcruxes, the potions master reverted to his usual affectionate treatment of him, and appeared to have put the matter from his mind. Harry awaited an invitation to one of his little evening parties, determined to reschedule, to accept this time, even if he had to reschedule Quidditch practice. However, no such invitation had arrived. Harry checked with Hermione and Ginny. Neither of them had received an invitation, and nor, as far as he knew, had anybody else. Harry could not help wondering whether this meant that Slughorn was not quite as forgetful as he appeared, simply determined to give Harry no additional opportunities to question. Meanwhile, the Hogwarts library had failed Hermione for the first time in living memory. She was so shocked, she even forgot she was annoyed at Harry for his trick with the bezoar. "I haven't found one single explanation of what Horcruxes do," she told them. "Not a single one. I've been right through the restricted section, and even in the most horrible books where they tell you how to brew the most gruesome potions, nothing. All I could find was this, in the introduction to Magic Most Evil."
Okay. Wait a minute.
Yes.
Even if Hermione is smart, she can't read the entire library.
I know. Maybe there's an index.
An index?
I know.
Like an internet? No, they don't have anything like that.
Well, libraries do have indexes.
No, I know, but it's... Yeah.
Right, but she wouldn't... Like, she goes and looks at Horcrux. They're not going to have an entry for Horcrux. What they need to do is actually, you know, for do a Google search of the library.
Right.
I don't think they made that.
And also, I'd also like to point out that in the Sorcerer's Stone, it's actually Harry who figures out Flamel. From the, The chocolate frog cards.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, she's saying, "All I could find was this, in the introduction of Magic Most Evil. Listen. Of the Horcrux, wickedest and magical of magical inventions, we shall not speak nor give direction." "I mean, then why mention it?" she said impatiently, slamming the old book shut. It let out a ghostly wail. "Oh, shut up," she snapped, stuffing it back into her bag. The snow melted around the school as February arrived, to be replaced by cold, dreary wetness. Purplish-gray clouds hung low over the castle, and a constant fall of chilly rain made the lawn slippery and muddy. The upshot of this was that the sixth year's first apparition lesson, which was scheduled for a Saturday morning so that no normal lessons would be missed, took place in the Great Hall instead of the grounds. When Harry and Hermione arrived in the hall, Ron had come down with lavender. They found that the tables had disappeared. Rain lashed against the high windows, and the enchanted ceiling swirled darkly above them as they assembled in front of Professors McGonagall, Snape, Flitwick, and Sprout, the heads of houses, and a small wizard whom Harry took to be the apparition instructor from the Ministry. He was oddly colorless, with transparent eyelashes, wispy hair, and an insubstantial air as though a single gust of wind might blow him away. Harry wondered whether constant disappearances and reappearances had somehow diminished his substance, or whether this frail build was ideal for anyone wishing to vanish. "Good morning," said the Ministry wizard, when all the students had arrived and the heads of houses had called for quiet. "My name is Winky Twycross, and I shall be your Ministry apparition instructor for the next 12 weeks.
Say his name.
Twycross.
No.
Twycross.
No, the whole name.
The whole name. Wilkie Twycross. I hope to be able to prepare you for your apparition tests in this time." "Malfoy, be quiet and pay attention," barked McGonagall. Everybody looked around. Malfoy had flushed a dull pink. He looked furious as he stepped away from Crabbe, with whom he appeared to be having a whispered argument. Harry glanced quickly at Snape, who also looked annoyed, though Harry strongly suspected that this was less because of McGonagall's rudeness than the fact that less because of Malfoy's rudeness than the fact that McGonagall had reprimanded one of his house. By which time, many of you may be ready to take your tests, Twycross continued, as though there had been no interruption. And as you know, it is usually impossible to apparate or disapparate within Hogwarts. The headmaster has lifted this enchantment purely within the Great Hall for 1 hour, so as to enable you to practice. May I emphasize that you would not be able to apparate outside the walls of this house, and that you would be walls of this hall, and that you would be unwise to try. I would like each of you to place yourselves now so that you have a clear 5 feet space in front of you. There was a great scrambling and jostling as people separated, banged into each other, and ordered others out of their space. The heads of houses moved among the students, marshaling them into position and breaking up arguments. Harry, where are you going? Demanded Hermione. But Harry did not answer. He was moving quickly through the crowd, past the place where Professor Flitwick was making squeaky attempts to position a few Ravenclaws, all of whom wanted to be near the front, past Professor Sprout, who was chivying the Hufflepuffs into line, until, by dodging around Ernie McMillan, he managed to position himself right at the back of the crowd, directly behind Malfoy, who was taking advantage of the general upheaval to continue his argument with Crabbe, standing 5 feet away and moving mutants. I don't know how much longer, all right, Malfoy shot him, oblivious to Harry standing right behind him. It's taking much longer than I thought it would. Crabbe opened his mouth, but Malfoy appeared to second-guess what he was going to say. Look, it's none of your business what I'm doing, Crabbe. You and Goyle just do as you're told and keep a lookout. I tell my friends what I'm up to if I want them to keep a lookout for me, Harry said just loud enough for Malfoy to hear him. Malfoy spun around on the spot, his hand flying to his wand, but at that precise moment the four heads of house shouted, "Quiet!" and silence fell again. Malfoy turned slowly to face the front again. "Thank you," said Twycross. "Now then." He waved his wand. Old-fashioned wooden hoops appeared instantly on the floor in front of every student. "The important thing to remember when apparating are the 3 D's, said Twycross. Destination, determination, deliberation. Step 1. Fix your mind firmly upon the desired destination, said Twycross. In this case, the interior of your hoop. Kindly concentrate upon that destination now. Everyone looked around furtively to check that everyone else was staring into their hoop, then hastily did as they were told. Harry gazed at the circular patch of dusty floor enclosed by his hoop and tried to think of nothing else. This proved impossible, as he couldn't stop puzzling over what Malfoy was doing that needed lookouts. Step 2, said Twycross. Focus your determination to occupy the visualized space. Let your yearning to enter it flood your mind to every particle of your body. Harry glanced around surreptitiously. A little way to his left, Ernie McMillan was contemplating his hoop so hard his face had turned pink. It looked as though he was straining to lay a quaffle-sized egg. Harry bit back a laugh and hastily returned his gaze to his own hoop. Step 3, called Twycross. And only when I give the command. Turn on the spot, feeling your way into nothingness, moving with deliberation. On my command, now. 1, 2. Harry glanced around again, lots of people looking positively alarmed at being asked to apparate so quickly. 2. Harry tried to fix his thoughts on his hoop again, but he had already forgotten what the 3 D's stood for. 3. Harry spun on the spot, lost balance, and nearly fell over. He was not the only one. The whole hall was suddenly full of staggering people. Neville was flat on his back. Ernie McMillan, on the other hand, had done a kind of pirouetting leap into his hoop, and looked momentarily thrilled until he caught sight of Dean Thomas roaring with laughter at him. "Never mind, never mind," said Twycross dryly, who did not seem to have expected anything better. "Adjust your hoops, please, and back to your original position." The second attempt was no better than the first. The third was just as bad. Not until the fourth did anything exciting happen. There was a horrible screech of pain, and everybody looked around, terrified, to see Susan Bones of Hufflepuff wobbling in her hoop with her left leg still standing 5 feet away from where she had started. The heads of house converged on her. There was a great bang and a puff of purple smoke, which cleared to reveal Susan sobbing, reunited with her leg, but looking horrified. Splinching, or the separation of random body parts, said Wilkie Twycross dispassionately, occurs when the mind is insufficiently determined. You must concentrate continuously upon your destination, and move without haste but with deliberation. Thus. Twycross stepped forward, turned gracefully on the spot, with his arms outstretched, and vanished in a swirl of robes, reappearing at the back of the hall. Remember the 3 D's, he said, and try again. 1, 2, 3. But an hour later, Susan's splinching was still the most interesting thing that had happened. Twycross did not seem discouraged. Fastening his cloak around his neck, he merely said, "Until next Saturday, everybody, do not forget, destination, determination, deliberation." With that, he waved his wand, vanishing the hoops, and walked out of the hall, accompanied by Professor McGonagall. Talk broke out at once, and people began moving toward the entrance hall.
Maybe we'll stop there. It's bedtime for the kitten. Sleep well, beautiful. I love you so much.